Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Sports Ethos New Orleans Pelicans podcast. I am your host, Lyle Swithenbank. This is a sportsethos.com presentation. You can follow us on Twitter, at Ethos Pelicans, at Lyle Swithenbank, LyleSwithenbank. A special episode today. I'm joined by two of the three founders of the Pels 12, the rambunctious fan group that we've seen, materialize out of a need for watch parties, particularly for Pels fans in the during the away games. So I am joined by Rel Myers and Sean Klein. How are you going?
Pretty good, man. Doing pretty good.
Yeah, it's a Monday after a late night, so I'm moving a little bit slow overall, but can't complain.
After a Pels game, what can we expect? You know, we've got to be we've got to take the lumps. We might as well dive straight in. We'll start with the Pels. That's what we're here for, isn't it? The Pels game number one against the Suns. Not the result we were looking for, but again, not all bad. A good second half to come back. Rel, what were your thoughts on the game overall as a Pels supporter?
I think we lost by 11 points, right? To the number one team in the league, and we didn't play all that great. So just like imagine, you know, if some of those shots are falling and, you know, we're making our free throws and we're defending the 3-point line and everything, I think that was a very winnable game for us. So the things that we have to change, I think are very fixable. And I think game two might look pretty different as long as we come out strong in the first half, but also come out strong in the second half too. So,
yeah, I'm with you 100%. I think it's got to be a full quarter effort. Sean, what did you think of the game?
Considering how we started off this year being 3-16 and having Zion out, Brandon out, missing all those games, just the fact that we're in this playoff series is everything that we were looking for. You know, it's above and beyond what I think our expectations were. So coming into the game, I was just trying to keep an open mind and have fun with it, you know, watch with friends and enjoy it. We're not going to shoot that poorly in every game. We're playing the best team in the league. We shot horribly and we still bounced back. We took their biggest punch. It took Chris Paul playing out of his mind to completely put us away. So I'm walking away with that with my head held high. And like Rel was saying, if we're able to make things click a little bit more on Tuesday, there's no reason we can't take a W from them.
I feel exactly the same way. We shot like 36% or something for the whole game, and 30% in the first half. In the paint was something like 30%. It was a tough game. We couldn't get the ball to go in the hole. You know, that was
thing we watched. Percentage in the paint is like, what's going on down there? There was a lot of bunnies that are missing. And I think I saw the rebound difference was like, we out-rebounded them by 20 rebounds. But we just couldn't make it.
Half of them were offensive. We had plus 20 in offensive rebounds, and a lot of them were us just chasing our own misses, you know?
It was crazy to see Valanciunas put up the stat line that he did with, you know, 24, 25, 26 rebounds, whatever it was. And after the game, the narrative was still he played a bad game. And the stats are somewhat artificial because he was rebounding his own misses. There's no way that happens again. It can't. It's just statistically improbable for us to miss that many layups, basically.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we had 20 more possessions and purely off these offensive rebounds and the like, and to then not be able to convert it, it makes it tough. And it's like a, you know, you're shooting yourself in the foot because you put yourself in a position to be able to make these shots and get good looks, but then not converting them, you know, it's frustrating. But again, big learning experience, and I suppose really holds us in good stead against the Suns for game two, because they shot nearly 60% and we lost by 11 and we're within five. Yeah. So, I mean,
yeah,
you can't be too scared about it. I think the Pels are going to come out with their tails up a little bit, hopefully, fingers crossed. I might have jinxed them now. But yeah. So the Pels 12. Out of all of the madness that was this year, shining light is born, and it is the fan base, the Pels 12. Can you just talk how this has turned into watch parties and just, I don't know, developed? I don't know. What's the
I think our other co-founder of the Pels 12, she's actually in California right now. She went out to Coachella, so she's been missing an action this weekend, missing the Lucky games, but I'm sure she's having a good time out there. But she had reached out to me. It was just like, you know, it was super casual. Like, hey, we want to get together sometime and we'll go catch the game at a bar together. I was like, yeah, let's do it. And she's like, you know, if you want to invite some more people, you know, let's put the word out. Let's put a tweet out and see, you know, who wants to show up. And so it was more people than we thought that were wanting to come. So, you know, we put that tweet out and we were trying to figure out, you know, if the place we were going was going to be like a good place to go or not. And there was a lot of like, oh, we don't know. They got trivia night. They're not going to put the sound on, yada, yada, yada. So that turned into a thing in itself. So at the last minute, we had to change venues. And I was like, oh my gosh, no one's going to come because no one's going to know we changed venues. So I was like, why don't we just make a different, like, why don't we make a totally separate account, just like a central location. So, you know, we're probably going to want to do this again anyway. So people can just go follow this account. And that's where they can go to get updates on watch parties and stuff. So we did that. And we went to the first watch party and I don't know, 30 people, I think, showed up. It was a pretty small bar. We pretty much packed the place out. And so it was so much fun, even though we lost by legit like 30 points that night to Memphis. It was the most fun ever. Like I've never, since the Pels 12 started, when we lose, I'm not in like a crappy mood anymore. I'm just like, well, I got 1,000 new friends now from watching this team. So I'm feeling pretty good. But yeah, it kind of just spiraled from, or snowballed rather, I think is the word we use a lot, ever since that first party. So, and then Sean's been kind of reaching out to a bunch of different places across the city to see who wants us to come visit.
Yeah, it was sort of a perfect storm of things between Rel being already relatively famous within the Pels Twitter community. the Pels really sort of started to turn things around, bringing in CJ McCollum. We were getting a little bit of momentum. And at the end of the day, I always say this, and Rel sort of makes fun of me for it, but we just wanted to watch Pelicans games with our friends. And the Pelicans weren't at the time putting anything out. So we saw that there was a need and sort of a void that we could fill. And between Rel and Lee and their ability to communicate on Twitter and me sort of already having a passion for doing things on the back end, like logistics, we sort of spoke to each other and said, you know, why can't this be a bigger thing? And if we keep putting it out there and we keep hosting events, people keep coming. So might as well keep doing it.
And I mean, to be able to identify that need and, you know, particularly in the last few years have been tough. I think across the world, everyone's sort of, you know, we've had the social distancing, we've had local businesses just get absolutely hammered because we haven't had those people through the door to be able to support restaurants and bars and the like. And to now see, you know, a fan club being able to just say, all right, we're going to go to this place, beyond just getting everyone together, you're also supporting local businesses and you know, the Mid-City Yacht Club, I'm sure they're very happy with the patrons coming through. You know, that's a testament to you guys to be able to identify that and realize that, hang on, we don't have an outlet for away games. We all like talk. We're all talking together on the spaces and, you know, texting and the like and talking about how difficult this is. Imagine if we were all sitting together and then we could all wallow in it, all celebrate together. And to have that, I think it's just fantastic avenue. And so What stemmed it then? It was purely that, all right, let's go and watch it all together with our friends. And all of a sudden, there's the satellite franchises coming up. There's the Houston watch party I see come up on the Twitter as well. And so were people just reaching out and starting their own chapters, I guess, or franchises or whatever they are of the Pels 12?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, it's truly been a community effort. This only grew because of what already existed. We got a lot of help from some of the local media people. And when we really knew it was something was, I think, 2 or 3 days after we had our first watch party, we noticed that the Pelicans had actually started following us on our Twitter account. And this is when we still only had 400 or 500 followers. And we're like, okay, this is really something. And when we started posting pictures, yeah, we would open up our DMs and it would just be a lot of people saying, hey, have you heard of any watch parties in Houston or Lafayette or on the North Shore? And we just started reaching out and linking people up, you know, because we'd have 2 or 3 DMs from those same cities. And we said, well, just talk to each other and put it out there and either people will come or they won't, but you'll have fun with the people that do.
And what a way to connect people. Like, I mean, people, we all chat, like I said, we're all chatting on Twitter and, you know, oh, I can't believe they did this, but to have everyone in the same room, is that weird connected? Well, not weird, but is it a bit of a, I don't know, trip, I guess, meeting people in person where, you know, we're from all over the world, but they're all gathered together. Yeah. How do I identify half these people when we've got the avatars and, you know, different names? Is there a name tag system?
We definitely need name tags. It's so weird. Like people are coming up to me and they're like, hey, Raul, what's going on? And I'm like, hey, so what's your name on online? What's your name on there? Because like most people, yeah, they don't have a picture of themselves. They have a picture of their pet or they have a picture of their favorite player on the team. And so it's just like, all right, it's already kind of hard for me to like remember people's names. And now I can't even put like the face with the name because this is my first time seeing the face. I don't know. I don't know who this is.
Yeah. But
no, it's been fun.
There is a sort of sense of not necessarily awkward, but sort of that moment when you're introducing yourself and Rel and I have somewhat become more well-known just because of the events, but people will come up and talk to us. They'll be like, yeah, my name is, you know, so-and-so. And we have to say like, all right, well, what's your name on there? And they're like, well, it's, you know, Kingram Stan 420 or just like something completely ridiculous. And you meet them and it'll be like this 40-year-old person or whatever. So it's definitely a bit of a trip, but it's been such a positive experience. Even when it's super crowded and it's literally falling out into the street with people, you know, everybody's just so happy to be there that, you know, you go into another crowded New Orleans bar and it's 4 people deep and people start getting impatient or they start getting frustrated with one another. But we haven't experienced that at all. And I think a lot of it stems from, we already sort of know these people. It's just on Twitter. You know, we might not have met them in person, but we've already built some of these relationships. So it's been great to see.
Absolutely. And so the Mid-City Yacht Club, how did that come about? Was that purely because it was a bigger bar and more space? Or did they reach out to link up? How did that relationship come about?
Eventually we realized the need that we were outgrowing the bars that we were in, which, you know, shout out to Red Door, shout out to Jockeys. They were the first people to say, yeah, come have a party. We'll put it on. And they're still fantastic. So we try to promote them as much as possible, but we were outgrowing. So, we were looking at what our other options were. We were considering, you know, taking this sort of show on the road and doing different bars each week. But I saw that Mid-City Yacht Club had a private room that, you could rent out for a deposit and as long as you bring enough people or whatever. So I reached out to them and I spoke with our contact there named Missy, who's been wonderful. But I do remember talking to her on the phone the first time and being like, listen, this is still new. We could bring 15 people. We could bring 30 people, but we just sort of want a space. She was like, all right, well, we will have to ask you to put down a deposit. And I'm like, that's totally fair. And no idea how many people are going to come. And we ended up having probably close to 150 people come.
Yeah.
Needless to say, they sort of rolled out the red carpet for us after that. They're like, if you can keep bringing that many people, we'll do whatever we can to keep you coming back.
Yeah, that first game was the Lakers game, I think.
So by the time I got there to put down the deposit, there were already so many people that she was like, you know what, I think we can just skip out on that.
That's amazing. I will say one super cool thing about us going to different places. Like, I do really appreciate the owner at Jockey's and the owner at Red Door. And, you know, occasionally I might, you know, tweet or comment on their Instagram or something like that back and forth. But something really cool happened Friday night, and I'm going around and I'm seeing all the people that, you know, have just showed up and walked in, and I'm handing out raffle tickets. And I look up, and who do I see other than the owner from Jockey's is at Mid City Yacht Club coming to hang out at the watch party. And I'm like, dude, what's up, man? Like, what are you doing here? And he's like, this is pretty cool, huh? And I'm like, yeah, man, I'm so happy to see you. So it's just such a cool thing. Like, he's a big Pelicans fan, and he just wanted to be in on the action too. Mm-hmm. And there was no, like, there was no vibe, like, you know, how come you don't come see me anymore? It was just like, hey, like, you guys got like 150 plus people here. Obviously they can't fit in my bars, but I want to come join the party. So here I am.
Yeah, that's been one of the more interesting things, is not only are all the bars sort of working together, but, you know, there's so many different Pelicans podcasts out there and different media groups. And we've been able to work with all of them. And one of the things that I've noticed is they've really started to help cross promote each other. You know, mm-hmm. there's no sort of no sense of rivalry. There's enough Pelicans fans to go around, and there's a need for everybody. So it's really cool to see them, you know, retweeting each other and boosting each other up, because that's what it's all about, is continuing to build this community.
For sure.
I mean, as someone that obviously hosts a podcast, I've never had anything but support and, you know, people coming on my podcast. I've had most of the big ones on here, as well as the beat writers. And honestly, the community has, that's why it draws you in, because everyone just wants the best for one another. Because if you're in it, you're a part of it, and you're one of the 12, I guess. And that has found,
that's right.
You know, and I mean, that has been the big draw card for me as well, to continue to do this, is that you've got, you know, the support of New Orleans. As soon as, even though I'm not from there, I've been there once, but it really is. Once you're in, you're in. And I like that. It's nice.
Yeah, yeah.
So what's next for the Pels 12 then? There's a fair bit going on. Well, we've still got another away game, at least two more home games. Is there big things on the horizon?
More parties, man. Just more parties. Another party tomorrow for game two. And what do we got going on Friday,
Sean? Yeah, so, yeah, we have we'll be back at Mid-City Yacht Club tomorrow for the away game. And then we're in talks with Pros Pel Podcast about doing another event with them pregame on Sunday, trying to get together and do another live podcast and bring in some special guests. We were looking at Friday, but there's a lot going on in New Orleans this weekend. There's French Quarter Fest. There's the Zurich Festival. There's the No Limit Records reunion concert, which is going to be insane as well.
What are they doing with that? Are they moving that to like the lakefront or something?
still have no idea. I think we're just all,
I don't know if you heard about
right
that, Lyle. There's like this concert has been like postponed or something like four different times, and it's supposed to be coming up this Friday, and it's supposed to be at the Smoothie King Center, but the NBA kind of takes priority, so it's like, don't know what they're gonna do, but they can't play in the Smoothie King Center. So
because it's meant to be at 7 p.m. or something, isn't it? And then the game's at 8:30, and
yeah, that's exactly.
I don't know about the overlap about getting the people in and out, but I know I'd be hanging around.
Not happening.
Go straight up.
Maybe
after.
They can have some of those guys come and do the halftime show or something. You know?
Yeah, there we go.
That's just good business. Just merge them together. They can just play in the background.
That's the live band we're looking for. That's the in-game entertainment we need. No Limit, All Stars, come out and play at the halftime show.
Well, it's playoffs, isn't it?
We've definitely got some cool stuff with that. And then, honestly, we're just sort of riding the wave right now, to be honest. We have plans to sort of sit down in the offseason and really hammer out what exactly where we're looking for this to go, what our expectations, you know, how far do we want to take this, and then start planning out some off-season stuff, you know, draft day parties, summer league parties, just hang out with each other in the summer and talk about the Pels parties, stuff like that. But the way that we see it, and I, you know, I can't speak for Lee and Rel, but we really see this as sort of sky's the limit. You know, we have a lot of communication with the actual Pels organization now. They're hooking us up with donations and t-shirts and stuff to pass out, and they're helping promote. So the way that we see it is, you know, you look at a lot of other sports, especially overseas, with soccer and rugby, and they have really formalized sort of supporter groups that have communications with the team, but are able to operate independently. And I think that's sort of what we're looking for, and at least until Rel gets a job with the team, and then we have to sort of figure it out. Have to figure it out from there. But
everyone's campaigning for that, you know. Everyone's tweeting the team, and it's so funny. But I'm like, hey, man, like, let's not put down the people who are already in these positions on the team just to try to like get me in there, you know? They're like, no, whoever is in there sucks. And I'm like, no, don't do that. It's like, please, I'm begging. Yeah. Actually, don't do that.
People on Twitter get a little defensive of us and our watch parties.
They're feisty.
We've sort of had to put out a statement being like, listen, it's not us versus them. It's just multiple watch parties. That's our goal. Is we want.
Oh, it's
every bar, you know. And so we'd rather work with the Pelicans than turn this into some us versus them thing. They've been very supportive, and then that's what it's all about. We're going to support them 100% no matter what. That's what this group is for. But definitely, we're trying to get the word out there that the Pels are very supportive of us as well. It's teamwork, team effort.
For sure.
And that's fantastic that they have jumped on board and said, well, hang on, this is something that we haven't – that was a need that needed to be filled. People have done it now. It's been done very, very well. And, you know, getting build it and they will come, so to speak. And now that they've jumped on board as well, it just goes from strength to strength. I mean, it's great to see. And yeah, that was actually something I was going to say, is that there are, especially in Australia, we've got that linkage between the professional sports teams and the supporter groups, particularly ones that aren't in the same state. So in the AFL, Aussie Rules Football, we've got like the West Demons, which is a Melbourne team, but they have a supporter base here and they're affiliated with Melbourne, but they just have nothing to do with them because they're, I don't know, 5,000 right. kilometers away, longer.
Right.
So to see that sort of formalized is really awesome. And it really is, the sky's the limit. So to change back to the Pels a little bit, what do we see happening, I suppose, in the next, well, 3 games minimum, hopefully more. I think there's a scope for more. What do we think happens tomorrow in game 2?
Before game 1, I had already thought that we could steal one in Phoenix. And I got a little greedy and was like, we could even win 2 in Phoenix. But, you know, obviously that wasn't the case. But, hey, man, I think we can definitely win this second game with the proper adjustments. And hopefully, I don't know. I've been saying Pels in 4, Pels in 5. You know what I mean? I'd love to go 6. I'd love to go 6. I think that's nice. 7's way too stressful. but I think we can definitely kind of, you know, catch them on their heels a little bit and make them sweat. And definitely, I think the team's starting to live up to that won't bow down motto. So yeah, I think we can apply some pressure on them and win a couple games.
Yeah, I would tend to agree with Rel there. I think we took their best shot yesterday. We're a young team, and now they have that game experience under their belt. You know, they've heard the crowd. They've seen playoff Chris Paul. They've seen playoff Devin Booker, and I think they're going to come out a bit more ready. I also think players are going to fill their roles a little bit more. I feel like CJ was putting a little too much pressure on himself in that last game, forcing up some shots. He's plenty of experience in the playoffs, but it's his first time without having Dame right there next to him. Mm-hmm. You know, first time where he's truly the man that people are looking at. And I think now that he's got a game here in that situation, I think he'll come out a little bit more smooth. I think BI will. We need to figure out what to do with Jax, but I'm going to leave that to Willie and the coaches because that's what they're paid for.
Yeah.
And hopefully we can see JV bring it together. But most importantly, if nothing else, we need to hit our free throws. Start hitting free throws, and it's going to be a much closer game.
For sure.
No, you get a free chance at it. You got to hit them. I'll tell you what.
yeah.
I was yelling at the team. I can imagine what the watch party was like when rimming free throws out and hitting back iron and oh gosh,
anyway. A lot of gut-wrenching screams.
Yeah, oh, great foul.
A lot of frustration.
Mm-hmm.
I echo those sentiments. I think we have a real good chance to nick one over there. I really think we do. we got those that first sort of playoff jitters out, as well as just adjusting to, I don't know, the third game in six nights in the third state. Yeah. I know people are sort of saying, oh, it's not that far, but I go on an aeroplane for like 50. I look at an aeroplane and feel like lethargic. So for me, I don't know how the guys do it all the time, the travel. So it's a big deal and first playoff experience for the majority. I agree with the CJ comments as well. He's got to be the guy. You know, he took 25 shots, got 25 points. I don't think that's going to happen again. I think he's going to get 30 if he takes 25 shots. I think he's going to be much more efficient. I mean, our three stars average, well, the average scoring was 32% or something between the three of them, which it's just not going to happen again. They refuse. They've got too much pride to do that. So looking forward to seeing them bounce back. So thank you very much for coming on. Any final remarks and anything to plug before we wrap up? It's been fantastic chatting to you both.
I don't know. I don't think I have anything to plug. Sean, is there anything, any special announcements?
No, just I don't know when this will come out. It could be after, but we've got the watch party again at Mid-City Yacht Club before Tuesday's game. A lot of great prizes, a lot of great people going to be there. And then again on Sunday, we're going to be putting something together. So promoting, you know, Mid-City Yacht Club's treated us well. Red Door treated us well, jockeys. So go support them and, you know, go Pels. Why not us?
Yeah.
Why not us? Why? It's been we've done it all year. You know, every time we're like, oh, yeah, we'll win one play-in game and we'll lose the second. All of a sudden, we're in the playoffs and 1-12, and now we're here.
Why not us and why not now?
Yeah, right? Exactly right. And, I mean, for us, at the start of the season, to get the playoffs, this is all bonus basketball for us anyway. So, you know, one thing is – I have no idea what I'm going to do when the season finishes, whether it's a championship or whether it finishes next week or whenever it is. I have absolutely no idea what I'm going to do because my free time is just going to open up.
It is. It'll be nice. It'll be nice. But at the same time, I think it's also going to be really boring too. So like, what am I going to do in the offseason? No idea.
I've never been so invested in a team. It's unbelievable. Even ones I've played on, I've never been this invested.
Yeah. There was a few seasons where, like, you know, I don't miss home games. You know, it's very rare that I miss home games. And there were some times where the team might be doing bad, especially on the road, where I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to watch the game tonight and I'll just see what happens later. But now it's like, no way. There's no way I'm not going to watch the game ever. So it's right. I'm extremely bought in.
So. Yep. And I think we all feel it. And by you guys putting together the Pels 12, you know, everyone's feeling it. We've seen it. They're all coming. And credit again to what you guys have built. Rel, Sean, thank you so much for joining us on the pod. It's been great chatting. No doubt we'll have to do it again sometime. And guys out there, go and follow the Pels 12 on Twitter. That's where you get all your details on the watch parties and all of the information. The Instagram page as well, I think there is. And you can get all the photos Pics and the lights.
And videos.
Been scrolling and tearing up that I'm not over there being a part of it. So it's been, get that major FOMO, but really looking forward to getting over there and catching up with everyone. And no doubt we'll have an away game when I'm there and I'll be heading down to the Pels 12. So
thank you very much. We'll see you in the finals, man. Thanks for having us.
Thank you very much. See you guys.
See ya.
I appreciate y'all.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So thank you very much to Rel and Sean for joining us on the podcast. It was fantastic to have those guys take some time out of the day to talk about the Pels 12. What a fantastic initiative. Seeing the team really embrace them as well has just been fantastic. And as I said, giving all of the support and getting raffle prizes and the like has just been really awesome to see. And all credit to them. I think it's only the beginning for the Pels 12. So congratulations again. Darrell and Sean and Lee, who put it all together. Get down to the Mid-City Yacht Club for game two. Treat yourself down there and, you know, go and watch it with some Pels fans, because it's always much more fun to celebrate together. And no doubt they'll put their best foot forward, the Pelicans, in game two, and we'll see a bit of a turnaround. So, fingers crossed. Anyway, I think I might leave it at that. As always, this has been the Sports Ethos New Orleans Pelicans podcast. I'm your host, Lyle Swithenbank, at Ethos Pelicans, at Lyle Swithenbank. Stay safe. Go Pels. Game number two coming up tomorrow. I'll talk to you after then. Bye for now.